love you this much. Good morning, everybody. I'm Marcus. I'm the lead pastor around here. We're glad that you're here. It was a great introduction from Jeremy. I felt like he made some great points. Frankly, he probably should have spoken today, because I can assure you what you're about to hear is pointless. So, we're really glad that you're here. What you may not know is, especially if you're relatively new around here, is that this month actually represents the two-year anniversary for us as church. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And so some awesome stuff that's been going on around here. And if you've been coming here over the past couple of years, you may not know that even before that, we actually started in a backyard not far from here. How many of you, given the recent rain, are glad that we moved out of a backyard? Okay, yeah. So we would have been, you know, like having some worship like in rubber dinghies, basically. But I'm glad to be indoors, and it's been pretty cool. But you know, over the course of that time, I have honestly been amazed, not just at what God has been doing through us as a church. And in that course of that time, we've seen over 200 people make first-time decisions for Christ, for example. Really awesome stuff. Cool things. Yeah, you can clap for that. Yeah, that's good. That's like heaven getting fuller as a result of what's been going on. But what I've noticed is that as much God's been doing like crazy stuff through us, he's been doing like ridiculous stuff in me. Can you relate to that at all? Like he's not just wanting to like grow some sort of, you know, big organizational superstructure of church. Although, you know, we always want to be the kind of church where the buildings themselves struggle just to contain the increase of what God's doing. Like, I'm all for it. You know, I want to empty hell. I want to fill heaven. Like, I'm down with being in Ormo, okay? But it's amazing to me what God does in me while I'm about doing things for his glory. And so this series that we've entitled Dangerous Church is really kind of about beginning to dream into and see what God might want to be doing, not only through us, yes, through us, but what he wants to do in us. And so, you know, we are a part, you know, even here in San Diego and around the world, we are one of many churches, okay? We are not the largest church by no measure. We're certainly not the best church. I'm doing my part to make us the baldest church, but I'm not really having to work all that hard at it, you know? And some of y'all, oh yeah, I see some fist pumps from some of the fellas. Yeah, we're doing our part, you know, to make us the baldest, but really, it's not really about that. God's called us as a group of people to bring the hope of Jesus into the center of the place that he's placed us, the city of San Diego, and to shine a light of hope to other people that don't have hope, to lift up the name of Jesus, and to try to communicate the truth, the good news, that in him anything is possible, that life can be turned around and transformed and enlightened and empowered. It's good stuff. And that's what God has called us to do. That's our mission. And I want to start here this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. And the verse is going to be up here on your screen. It's found in verse 15. And the Apostle Paul's writing to us and encouraging us. Listen to what he says. He says, "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So, I'm guessing, but you probably didn't need to come to church today to understand, to realize, for me to fill you in, that we live in a world that is just steeping in evil, okay? Spend 5 minutes on CNN and you pretty much got the memo and you could have saved yourself a trip to church. I'm guessing you didn't come needing to get the info that we live in kind of a raucous, crazy, evil place. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying it's time for us to make the most of the opportunities that we have. And what we can see is, I think pretty clearly, that even if you can't see him right now, There are opportunities in your life. There's opportunities in my life that I need to start picking up on because God's got something in here for me. Even in the midst of the craziness and even in the evil, the darkness that's present in our world, there's an opportunity for me. And he says to understand what the Lord's will is. Now, I think that this is probably one of the toughest things for folks to wrap their mind around. And it doesn't really matter whether you're a Christian or not. This room's filled with people that are, some of you guys have been Christian, been following God for a long time. Some of you guys, you know, like your experience in church is exactly 25 minutes long. And we're all kind of, you know, we're sort of this mishmash together. And you're safe here no matter where you're at. But my guess is that the whole notion of what's God's will for my life is probably a mystery to you. Because that's kind of like this huge concept. We would, in theory, want to do that. We would want to know what that is, but it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around. But the Apostle Paul is saying you should understand what the will of the Lord is for you. So my guess is, I'm just sort of gathering, I'm a fellow journeyer here with you. My guess is that God actually not only has opportunities for us, but he actually wants to show us what they are. He wants to reveal them to us so that we can understand what God's will is. And last week, we talked about hope. Do you remember, if you were here last week, we talked about hope and that hope is not something that you do. Like, man, I sure hope I don't lose my job. I sure hope that I don't get sick like, you know, my crazy uncle at Christmas did. You know, hope isn't this action that we do. That's what a lot of people think it is. But hope is actually something that we have. It's a possession that belongs to us if we choose to follow Jesus. It belongs to us. Hope resides in us. And so if we invite Christ into the center of our life, hope begins to rise. We talked about that last week. But here's what I've seen over the past couple years of working here downtown, is that every time I turn around, it seems as though God is sort of interrupting my everyday mentality, my outlook, the things that I see. He keeps surprising me with things that are sort of shaking up the status quo. It's happened to me time and time and time again. It started before we even started as a church, when I wasn't even looking for the house that I now live in. And then all of a sudden, it was sort of like we bumped into a person, you know, Craigslist here or there. We sort of go and visit, and boom, I'm here. And it totally was outside of what I was expecting was going to happen. God had an opportunity for me. But what he wanted to do was come and show it to me. He wanted to grab my attention and be like, no, hey, here's something that's really cool that I've got for you outside of your expectation, outside of your picture. I want to kind of invade your everyday status quo picture with something new and fresh from me. I want you to understand what my will is. See how that's kind of cool? And here's the good news for you and me. I don't know about you, but like I sometimes like, man, I got to go like mine out like what God's will is for me. No, see, all that was required for me was that I was just open to understanding what he wanted me to do. And he's the one that injected himself into my life and guided my direction into my steps. I didn't have to come up with it. You know, some of you are like, man, I got to like quick napkin sketch out the grand master plan for my life here in the next 10 minutes, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about coming to God with an attitude of openness that says, God, what do you want to show me? I want to understand what your will is. Will you show it to me? Because people that come to God with those kinds of palms up, that kind of heart open, discover what it is because God leads us. He wants to reveal himself to you. Matthew 11, Jesus is talking, and he says, since the days of John the Baptist, so this has been a long time, a couple thousand years, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing with force, and forceful people are taking a hold of it. The kingdom of God's been advancing with force for a couple thousand years, and forceful people are taking hold of it. Here's one of the things that kind of fires me up about that passage is that Jesus is describing not a static kingdom, not sort of, you know, old dead ritual. He's describing a vital kingdom of God that's growing, that's green, that is enlarging, that's advancing, and what he's saying is that forceful people go and take hold of it. It's not a church that's retreating. It's not a church that's retiring. It's certainly not a church that goes and hides behind some sort of barrier, you know, to kind of keep the boogeyman out. There's lots of churches with that mentality, I'll be honest with you. And the whole reason they exist is so that they can all kind of huddle up and create a country club for Christians, and we all just kind of go like this against all the scary stuff, and it becomes this sort of enclave mentality that we're going to go and try to be safe from the rest of the world. And that's not the picture of the church that Jesus described. And I'm not talking about some organizational structure or building with a cross on top of it. I'm talking about people, because church is people. The people that Jesus described were people that recognized that the kingdom of God is advancing with force, and forceful people go and take hold of it. And that's why we essentially call this series Dangerous Church, because it's responding to the call of Jesus to go and advance with force, to take the offensive, to initiate a Jesus desire to go and win, not just to play, not to lose. Do you know the difference? If you've played organized sports, you know, like, one of the easiest ways for you to lose a game is to play, not to lose. What Jesus is calling us to is to go out there and actually win in Jesus' name. It's a church that doesn't just survive, but it thrives. And so here's the prayer that we have started now here in our second week in 2016. This is the prayer we are praying for ourselves. Write this down. We pray not that God make us safe, but that he make us dangerous for him. I want you to let that sink in for a second. We pray not that God make us safe, but that God make us dangerous for him. I changed the way that I pray for my kids a couple of years ago. I would go into my kids' room, and I would, at bedtime, you know, do nighttime prayers and all that kind of stuff, and I caught myself saying and praying something over my kids that it finally dawned on me that I actually don't believe. I would pray things like, God, I pray that you'd keep my them from harm, that you would make them be healthy, all these different things. You've probably caught yourself doing the same thing. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with praying health over people, like, I'm not saying, you know, hey, I want them to be sick. Of course not, okay? I'm all for health, okay? I'm all for, you know, good things. I'm not wanting my kids to go play in the street, okay? But it something dawned on me. It's like, you know what? One of the things I'm praying over my kids is I'm actually praying defensiveness over my kids. I'm praying that they're gonna play their life and lead their life so that they don't lose. When I actually know intuitively that's a great way to lose. I changed the way that I started praying. That instead of saying, God, I pray that you keep my kids safe, I started praying, God, would you use this little life to go make a huge impact for you? Would you help this little person that I'm putting my hands on, I'm praying for, would you help them go be dangerous so that the world starts getting scared because this person's so much like on mission for you? And that's one of the things I pray for us as a church. Not that we would be retiring, not that we would sort of huddle up and be safe, but that we would be the kind of unstoppable force that the city cannot ignore. That's how I think you know that you're on the mission of Jesus. When you start doing stuff and start behaving in ways and start believing things that are so outlandish and so crazy and stuff starts happening, faith begins to build and miracles really begin to happen around the city, that people start scratching their head going, what in the world is going on over there? It's not a mentality that's defensive. We're taking the offense. That means being dangerous in our intentionality to share Christ with people in our circle. That means being dangerous in serving other people and getting radical with the way that we selflessly put other people ahead of ourselves. It means being dangerous in our generosity. And I want you to think about your own personal, like, kind of where you're at in these levels here today. Where are you at in your dangerous level of sharing with other people? Where are you at? How dangerous are you in the way that you serve other people? Are you safe or are you dangerous? How dangerous are you in your generosity and giving to other people? Giving what few people will give in order to see what few people ever get to see. I want you to think about that. Because that's what I believe God's called us to do and be. Is to give and to serve and to extend in the ways that few people are willing to do, in order to see what few people are ever able to see, because they never live dangerously. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are the most blessed. This is pretty key, because if we fail to see what God's doing in our lives around us, we stumble all over ourselves. That's what the scripture says. Another translation of that scripture says, without a vision, people perish. If you don't catch a glimpse of what God's doing around you, you're going to stumble all over yourselves. But when we key into it, what it says is that we become, what does it say? The most blessed. Pretty powerful stuff. And so when we start seeing things the way God sees them, there's something really powerful and extraordinary that's going to start happening in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want my 2016 to be extraordinary. I'm not up for ho-hum, you know, humdrum, lame-o. Okay? I want extraordinary, don't you? So how do we get there? And I want you to start getting a picture of the vision of what it looks like to be a dangerous church. I want to talk about it here for a moment for us as Center Church. And I want you to take a moment and picture the Center Church that I see. I want you to take a look at this video. Check it out.
The church I see is so attractive, so refreshing, so impactful that the buildings struggle to contain the increase. I see a church of people who have found a real relationship with God, not legalistic religion, where living for God isn't an obligation, it's an overflow of our love. I see a church where people are always taking their next right step, continually pursuing God's purposes in every part of their lives. I see a church full of people who are growing in God and discovering that He wants to use them to make a difference, where every person is experiencing the kind of fulfillment that only God can give. I see a church where God uses ordinary people, loving our neighbors and serving our city, so that in turn the city opens its heart to God. It's a people on the mission of Jesus where they live and work and play. I see a church so compassionate that people are drawn from impossible situations into a loving circle of hope where answers are found and acceptance is given. The church I see walks right into the center of the world's greatest darkness and shines the hope of Jesus. It's a people committed to restoring the broken and healing the hurting, a movement that believes they are made better when they help other people win. I see a church who champions the city's biggest needs and meets them in Jesus' name. I see a church that provides safe haven for women and children at risk, a coffee house for greater community impact and employment opportunity for people out of work. I see a church who never stops searching for people far from God, because God never stops searching for us. I see a people so kingdom-minded that they will count whatever the cost and pay whatever the price to see the hope of Jesus held high in our world. The church I see realizes none of this can happen in their own ability. Instead, they are a community passionate about pursuing the presence of God, connecting to His power through prayer. I see a church dependent upon the Holy Spirit to light our life and His city. I see a church where Jesus is famous and all the glory goes to Him and Him alone. I see a church where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible.
Yeah. Now that's where we're going as a church. That's what we believe God's called us to go and to advance and to take with force what He is doing here in the city. And there's tons more detail to that I'm not going to unpack with you here. But suffice it to say, if that stirs in your heart at all, come and jump in and take hold of that with us. And that will require action on our part. That will require not praying that God keep us safe, but that God make us dangerous for Him. But when we live in that kind of framework, that kind of state of mind, watch out. Because God is up to some huge, huge, big stuff. And I want to challenge you this year. I want to challenge you to get intentional of sharing in your circle the good news of what God has done in you. Don't go try to be a theologian and talk about stuff you don't know anything about. Who does that? Theologians don't do that. Just go talk about what God's done in you. Go get radical at serving other people. Some of you guys need to go jump onto a ministry team. You need to serve. You need to participate and jump in. Get radical. And I want to challenge you to give generously this year. We have seen God do miracles in our finances as we have been on mission for Him. And we've gotten risky, man. And we've gotten into the water and done stuff that has just been crazy. God has poured blessing into us. As we have gotten dangerous, He's put resource in our hands to go and do it. It's going to get dangerous. But don't wimp out and live safe. It sucks. Go get dangerous for Jesus. And so I do want to say just a quick word. It's just us talking, right? I do want to say a quick word about our finances here at the church. Center Church is very healthy in its finances. And it is because of the generosity that you guys have already shown. I'm looking out on a sea of faces. You guys have been generous. You've been faithful. And it's because of that that we have been able to be in a very, very financially healthy spot. And here's the way that we choose as a church. We believe this is sort of God leading us in our finances. This is how we make decisions on how we spend money around here. We do it through this lens. We do it based on the resources that that God has placed in our hands and opportunities that God gives to us and opens doors to us. Okay? So we don't try to force our way into doors. God opens doors before you. The Bible says, "Behold, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut." Okay? So when God opens doors, we walk through them. God puts resources in our hands, we do it. But we are a church that operates in those ways. And one of the main reasons for that, and you're gonna notice this about me if you follow me around at all, God's not called me to be a fundraiser. Okay, some of you guys are like, praise the Lord. You know, like, that's not my deal, man. Like, that's not what God's called me to do. And so one of the things that you're gonna notice around here, we will call you to do this, to give radically, but it is through this lens. Not because somebody stands up here and tries to emotionally manipulate you into giving, but because here's what we encourage you to do. Go listen to Jesus. Go out there, grab some time on a picnic table. Go listen to Jesus and then do what He says. And if you'll do that, and you'll do that, and you'll do that, and you'll do that, and I do that, God opens doors before us and puts resources in our hands, and we go and we do it. And that's how we have operated from day one. It's how we're going to continue to operate as we move forward. We have no debt. We do everything 100% with cash as God gives us resource. We go and we take the city for Jesus. That's how it works. Now, I'm not going to say that sometimes it doesn't require that we step first and then God gives. That's happened to me tons of times. But those are the two things. That's the lens through which we make steps. But being a dangerous church isn't just about an organizational vision. That's important. And I want you to kind of catch where we're going and the things that are kind of in the mix that are going to be happening in the coming year I'm really, really excited about. But it's not because the church isn't an organization. The church is people. So here's what I want to help you to do in the next couple of minutes is we're going to change gears here from talking about like, hey, here's where we're going in the year. Let's just mind down. Let's just talk about us. What's going on in you? What's God doing in you? What's the vision that He has for your life? Because as you sit here, you're staring out on the same 2016 that I am, but sometimes it can get cluttered with all the mess, right, that comes in our way, and we don't even understand the opportunities that are there that are present for us. And so how do you go about seeing a spectacular vision in your everyday experience? How do you do that? And so I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I see something spectacular from me this year? Because some of you, when I ask you a question like that, you start getting excited. You're like, well, darn tootin', I'm like ready to go. Like, let's do this. You know, I've already had 72 hours in the gym. I'm ready to do this thing, right? And, you know, and we know you're going to quit next week. But that's neither here nor there. But some of us, when we stand and we think about, like, okay, spectacular vision, No, I really don't. I feel like I'm kind of staring into the gray. I really want it to be different. I try with my New Year's resolutions, but like, chances are it's going to kind of be like it was last year. How do we go about arriving at a spectacular vision for our year? How do we do that? And as we talked about already, the people who see a spectacular vision for their life are people that actually advance and take with force what is set in front of them. They don't go and hide behind a bush. They don't sort of back into their year and fingers crossed hope, as in, like, I hope the Chargers don't move. They don't attack their life that way. They go face forward, and we go and we get it. And so I believe the Bible actually lays out four key actions that I want to drop on you today, and maybe they're things that you can apply to your own life in this coming week. They're steps, they're actions, they're go and do it with force kind of behaviors that will help us to step into not being a safe person, but being a dynamic person. Not being a safe church, but a dangerous church. And these are the four words. I want you to kind of catch these. Here's the first one. It's the word follow. Follow. Arriving at a vision for your life of what God's up to requires followership. And I'm not talking about following me. I'm talking about following Jesus. Okay? If you're following me, only do it if I'm following Jesus. Okay? You follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the Bible says. All right, so this isn't about following me. This is about getting a hold and following the guy that's actually laying out the plans. And here's the truth, is that Jesus was never looking for mere believers. Did you know that? Jesus didn't come to the earth looking for believers. Believers are a dime a dozen. He came looking for followers. This may come as some surprise to you, but the devil believes God exists. Did you know that? Last time I checked, he's not going to heaven. Even the devil believes in God. What God's looking for in us is followers. One of the things we talked about last week is that God is looking for people, not that are perfect, but they're just teachable. They're willing to follow him around, and that's how Jesus taught. Jesus, you know, if you notice, Jesus didn't go to seminary somewhere. He didn't stand up, you know, in some sort of academic environment to try to force feed mentally into people's minds, like, how to be, like, more like him. He did it fishing. He did it, like, walking around and eating and having parties. I like Jesus' way better. And that's how he did it. He basically went to the guys that would become his closest friends with one invitation: follow me. Just come follow. There's lots of people that I think would even, you know, nowadays, like, kind of look around and be like, well, you know, I believe in a higher power. Well, that God exists, probably, or whatever. But see, that's different than following. Believing it exists is different than following. It's not that way. They're not walking it out. Now, I want you to know that if you are just kind of kicking the tires of faith, and you came in today, you're like, man, I'm just sort of investigating the claims of Jesus, you're in a safe place. Because there was a time when I came walking in investigating the claims of Jesus too. All right? You can belong here before you believe. Nobody's going to force you into anything. But I want to propose something to you. And it's not in the way of any kind of religious construct at all. It's really out of the life of Jesus. That if you really want to investigate truly who Jesus really is, and whether what he says is true, and whether what he promises is dependable, to do what his friends actually did when they met him for the first time, and just follow him. You know, the first time he went to Andrew and said, follow me, and Andrew popped up and started following him. When he went to Matthew, hey, follow me. Do you think those guys knew everything about Jesus at that point? I guarantee you they didn't. These guys are jacked. You know, their lives are messy just like ours are messy. But they popped up and they began to follow him. And what they learned as they walked along the road was more about what his life could actually bring to their life. Maybe arriving at something extraordinary. If you want to break out of the humdrum of what last year was, maybe your 2016 needs to start with an action that's forceful. Follow. Consider it. We can do so much when we when we begin to follow. We grow in an understanding of who he is along the way. Here's the second word. It's connect. Connect's the second action. Before God does anything great in your life, he will connect you. Some of you need to write that down. Before God will do anything great in your life, he will connect you. Connection is actually a necessary ingredient of health. I want you to take it off of spiritual things here for a second. I can guarantee you that the more connected your family becomes with one another, the healthier your family will be. The more connected you are in your business relationships, the healthier and the stronger your business acumen is going to be. Connection is a vital element of being a healthy person because you are made to be a relational person. And so when we step to connect, and that's God's desire for us, is to connect, we begin to really see the world in front of us the way that we're supposed to. Now, this is something that's I think, really, really important. And if you're kind of kicking the tires around here, I want you to listen to me just for a second. Is that even if Center Church does not become your church, you need to connect to a church. Okay? That's probably not taught in a lot of church growth, like, you know, seminars, like the pastor stands up and tells you to go to another church. I'm just telling you that whether or not you choose Center Church to be your church, you need to connect. So if you don't get the words that are coming out of my mouth and it's like you don't feel a good fit here and all that kind of stuff, I totally get it. It's understandable. I can't stand me most of the time. So if that's kind of where you're at, like, I totally understand. But you need to go get in a church. You need to go get connected. You need to go get faithful. You need to go get poured in so that you can grow, because that's what happens. That's how God sets you in motion, is through connection. Connection is taking it from being just an attender to I belong here. It's moving from being a consumer to being a contributor. There's a continuum that God's wanting to take you along. You know, if you feel like your destination is to just kind of show up and be a consumer of religious goods, A, that's depressing. And B, God's actually got something so much more for you to go be a contributor. It's about not just attending a great church, but making a church great. Do you see the difference? I never want to become the church that has, like, so many cool programs and so many, like, awesome things to, like, rub your back and, like, make you feel all comfortable and, like, special parking for, you know, if you come four times a month, then you get, like, really good parking. You know, if you only come once a month, we make you park in the pasture. Or, like, where? Like, I never want to become that kind of church. I don't want to be a consumer church. I want to be a contributing church. I don't want to just be, like, I just attend. I want to be a I belong here kind of church. That's what's going to set your 2016 at a completely different trajectory. And some of you guys have been missing that component for the longest time, and you're starved for it. You're not advancing and taking anything by force. You walk through your entire life with your hands in your pockets, kicking a can down the road, and then you wonder why you're kind of discouraged. It's because the actions you're taking are really discouraging. And what the Bible is saying is go and connect. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 says, it's better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. By yourself, you're unprotected. You see that? But with a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? Because a third stranded rope isn't easily snapped. This is why we want you to go get in a group around here. Okay? These rows that we have a great old time in on Sunday morning, they're awesome, they're great, but we actually believe that life change happens in smaller groups. And in a couple of weeks, we're launching a new campaign of small groups that happen all around San Diego. You need to go get in a group. People that are in a group around here will tell you, that's where I make the connection. That's where I make friends. That's where I am known. That's where my struggle gets shared. That's where my celebrations have friends to party with. That's where my life kind of goes to the next level. It's in connecting. We can do more together than we could have ever done all by ourselves. And so some of you guys, you need to host a group. You've got a house, and it would work for you to take two or three couples or have a handful of single people or college folks, whatever. You need to host a group. And you're going, well, I couldn't possibly do that. I don't have a master's degree in divinity. And it's like, can you put on a pot of coffee and flip a light switch? Because that's basically it. Okay? You're not going to have to, you know, dispensate on any kind of like funky, weird stuff. I'm just like, can you say hello and open the door when people show up at your house? It's basically it. We'll give you the rest of the resources. But some of you guys need to host a group. All of you guys need to be in a group so that we can connect and be more than we could have ever done on our own. When you look around at what's happened here over the last couple of years, it's pretty incredible. And there's not one thing that you can point to and look at that's like really, really awesome that one person could have accomplished. None of it could have happened with one person. Could you have done those 200 and something people that accepted Christ? Did you do that? I did it. That just happened because we connected and we own this thing and we began to advance with force. That's why it happened. We got to connect. It's really, really important. If you're interested in hosting one of them, for you to do that, and we'll get in touch with you this week, I want to help you to help other people connect. Okay? It's big. Here's the third one. Discover. Taking the action step to discover. Why on earth was I ever put here on this earth? Why am I here? Some of you are like, well, my mom and dad never even meant to have me. I have no idea. I'm just like an accident. Hey, can I just tell you something real quick? That can be their story if they want it to be. That's not your story. That's not God's story for you. Hear me. That's not God's story. That might be their story. It's not yours. How do I know that? Because Psalm 139 verse 13 says something incredibly powerful. I don't want you to miss this. The psalmist says, you made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. Not an accident. God intended to do it. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. I want you to underline that little part of that scripture. I know this very well. David knew it. He discovered it. It was like, how many people are walking around this day like kind of going like, yeah, I'm wonderful. I'm trying to applaud myself and increase my self-esteem, but I don't really know it. I actually doubt it at a very, very deep level. I don't consider myself wonderful. I don't consider myself fearfully and wonderfully made. Nope, that's not me. What David discovered changed his entire outlook on life, and it will change yours. He went on to say, all the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. That's how intentional your life is. Are you catching it? All the days of your life are written in a book that's filed in God's library, and God loves every single one of the days. That's how intentional God's love is for you. And so that's why we got to start getting into action, discovering what his purposes are for us. And for some of you guys, you got to start with the primary kind of baseline principle that God really loves you. You doubt that. You question that. I thought God was kind of mad at me. I thought God was sort of sitting up in heaven with a cosmic, you know, demerit book waiting to put me on detention for all the things that I do wrong. I kind of thought God hated my guts. You've missed the real him. Because the Bible says that every day that you have ever lived in your life has been ordained and set in place and recorded and doted on and loved by God. That's who he is. You got to begin to discover that. The spectacular vision of a God who loves you. He shaped you for something extraordinary. You got to take the step to discover it. So you got to follow. You got to connect. You got to discover. Here's the fourth one. Pretty basic. You got to serve. You got to serve. Now, believe it or not, this is the action step that actually brings about the most joy. Nothing fills your life with greater joy than putting another person in front of yourself and serving them. If you don't believe me, go walk around the campus after and go talk with folks that are serving around the campus. If you've got kids, go talk to the person that's serving your children today in Center Kids and ask them, does this like do anything for your joy quotient at all when you serve these kids? Because I guarantee you what you're going to find and talk to person after person after person are the people that serve other people and put other people in front of themselves who believe their life is made better when they help other people win are the people that have the most joy in our community, I guarantee it. without a question. I can also point to you the people that are the most critical, that are the most disappointed in life, that are the most discouraged, that are the most depressed. They're the people that serve little, give little, participate little, have zero vision for life. I don't want to be that kind of person, do you? What does it look like for me to begin to serve other people? 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I want you to leave that scripture up there just for a second. Serve other people. Giving to other people. Living your life, not safe, but living it dangerously for the glory of God. And here's the engine that I think empowers all of these action steps that I just kind of laid out for you. It's the first three words. I kind of highlighted them for you. God has given. God has given to you. God has given to make a relationship with him possible again. Think about that. The Bible says that he gave his only son so that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life with him. He has given. That's what empowers our follow. God has given to restore the broken pieces of our life. And I look at myself sometime in the mirror and I go, man, where in the world would I be? Where would all these fractured pieces of me be without the bonding, healing power of the Holy Spirit to put me back together? So I don't stand in front of you today as a shattered, broken person. I stand before you today as a person who used to be broken and shattered, who has been made whole by the power of Jesus. That's connecting. God has given to make sure that you never neglect how powerful and how unwavering and how faithful his love is to you. And your step this year is to begin to discover what that actually is, to feel it and know it at the deepest fiber of your being. And God has given so that you can give to others. God has given, you guys, not so we can be safe, but so we can go be dangerous for him. My prayer for you in this 2016 is that you begin to get this extraordinary vision and begin to pick up on the opportunities that are all around us and to go and forcefully and advance and take for the cause of Christ this city that he loves so much. And it starts with you and I individually beginning to get a picture of the vision God has for us. Let me pray for you. If you're here this morning, and the truth is you've never decided to follow Jesus, but you desperately want to, you want to begin your life, your year, in the right vein, in the right way, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. It's as simple as saying, God, I need you. I invite you to come into my life to forgive me the things I've done wrong, to heal me of all the things that I have been broken in, and to lead my life. I'm giving my life to you. I've decided to follow you. And if you can agree with a little prayer like that, you just became a follower of Christ. Don't have to have all the answers. Begin right where you find yourself now. But you became a follower of Christ just right now. And I want to pray for you in just a moment, but I want to know who I'm praying for. I promise I won't draw any attention to you. I won't embarrass you in any way, I promise. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's head's bowed. But if that's a choice that you made, would you just slip up a hand just really quick and just say, yeah, I've decided to follow Jesus. That's me. I got you. Great. Great. Anybody else? I'm in. I'm following Jesus this year. That's me. Great. Great choice. Great choice. Anybody else? I'll wait just a moment. Best decision you've ever made. Father God, I thank you today. Thank you that your love for us is so powerful and rich. Thank you that you draw us toward yourself, that you empower us to follow you, to connect with you, to discover more about what your plan is for us, and to serve other people and put them in front of ourselves and our own needs. I pray that you would help us, each one of us here in this room today, to begin to recognize the opportunities that you have placed around us, to move just from a place of complacency and safety to the offense where we forcefully advance and take hold of the life that you have for us here in the center of San Diego. Help us to be a dangerous church. In Jesus' name, amen.